I always wonder what, how Daniel, Pastor Daniel Koh will introduce me. Indeed, my life every day is a hallelujah. But if you do not know this one thing, I married the worship pastor of the church. Daniel Koh and his wife produces 3 worship leaders in this church. So who is more anointed? Hallelujah. Pastor Seng Lee, Pastor Hua Ken, and Elder Edric, as they come before you, even the last few weeks, they always come with this Chinese blessing. My Chinese is quite private and limited, so I shall not attempt. But, I want to show you this Chinese saying. They say that if you want happiness for an hour, take a nap. If you want happiness for a day, go fishing. If you want happiness for a year, inherit a fortune. So wife, please don't complain that why I keep going fishing and why I keep sleeping so much. And if you want happiness for a lifetime, help somebody. I hope this has enough motivation to drive this whole blessing campaign and give it and leave it as part of your life. But if you think that this is not enough, let me give you some more motivation. Researchers, scientific research and experiment have shown that by helping others, that you may not only live happier life, not only healthier, not only wealthier and more productive and meaningful. He says that, you know, it goes to show in this Psychology Today, 2014, they published an article saying that, you know, when you help someone, your body releases endorphin. And there's this feeling of satisfaction and you feel more grateful for what you have. You are distracted from your own problem and it does improve physical health. And they term this as a helper's high. Isn't it true? Sometimes when we help someone and we walk away, we have that joy in us. This is what they are talking about. So for centuries, great thinkers have suggested the same thing. Happiness is found in helping others. Hear what some of these famous people have to say. St. Francis of Assisi says this, "For it is in giving that we receive." Leo Tolstoy says this, "The sole meaning of life is to serve humanity." Winston Churchill says, "We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give." Nobel Peace Prize recipient Muhammad Yunus says this, "Making money is happiness. Making other people happy is super happiness." And an actress Goldie Hawn says this, "Giving back is as good for you as it is for those whom you are helping. Because in giving back, it gives you a purpose. And when you have a purpose-driven life, you are a happier person." Some of these sayings listed here above, some are from believers, while some others are pre-believing. So what is the difference between a pre-believer, good deeds, and between the works, a good work of a disciple of Christ? Is there an impact in what we do? And we need to know this because we are about 3/4 into the blessing campaign and we want to continue to live this lifestyle. Is it important? Is it important to know, is there a difference between a good deed and a good work? And what is the difference? Because we want our work to last. Because we want our work to give us, to bring us reward. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 11-15 says that, "For no other foundation can anyone lay on that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, then he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved." Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23, a reminder that people say to him, as they come to him on the last day and say to him, "Lord, Lord," but Jesus says to him, "I do not know you." He says that, "Have we not prophesied in your name?" These people will come and say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done many wonders in your name? Have we not clothed the clothe the naked, heal the sick, give drinks to the thirsty, and feed the hungry. Have we not? But Jesus declared to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Why is it important? Because at the last day, we want to see our Master, and we want to only just hear this one thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. And not, depart from me. I do not know you. So where does the difference lies in? Where is the disparity? This leads us to this passage taken for this morning from Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. The Lord says to Abraham, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So whether our works are merely good deeds, or our works that produces rewards and that last, I believe it anchors on these three calls as believers that we need to hear, we need to practice in our lives as we live out this lifestyle of blessing. The call to surrender, the call to acknowledge, and the call to understand. The call to surrender. We surrender in order to be filled up again. The word surrender is not a very happy word. It's a very difficult word because it sometimes spells pain and sacrifice. Very difficult word. The parable of my son and his two chocolates. You know, he loves chocolate so much that when he received it on the first day of the blessing campaign, as he was about to take out the wrapper and put it inside his mouth, then lo and behold, he saw Pastor Jack. And then Pastor Jack asked him, what are you doing? Do you not know that you are supposed to give and not eat? Suddenly it dawned upon him, and with a sad face, he put back in his pocket and said yes. He forgot that during the class, KFC class, Sunday school class, that he was told that he's supposed to give this to another person and not eat it himself. If you have children, you will know, or I think you will encounter children where you're trying to give them sweets, okay, but you tell them you cannot eat and to give it to someone else. You think it's going to be a challenge. You're actually taking the life out of them. Okay? And even as you see this picture, I want to give you the context. If not, you think that he's really a very godly man. Not yet, he's work in progress. But the context behind is, he struggles. And when he goes home, he knew what he needs to do. He needs to take out the blessing ang pao, he needs to write something and put the two coins inside. You can't imagine the speed that he do all these things. Very unwilling, very sad, very reluctant. But he knew he needs to do it because he heard what Pastor Jack has said. He heard what the KFC teachers have told him. And he heard what we told him. And we knew, me and my wife, we knew that he's going to do it that night. We want to wait for him to finish. So lo and behold, when he finally put the 2 liter chocolate into the ang pao packet, and he sealed up, guess what? Mommy and daddy suddenly from nowhere pull out a box of chocolate and put it right in front of him. And now with glee at his face, he suddenly realized that 2 liter chocolate is nothing compared to this whole entire box. So he go on and say, I want to write some more. So as he write more, he eats more. So this is the context of this picture. Can you imagine for someone who surrendered the 2 precious chocolates? And for us as fathers and mothers, knowing his intention and motivation, knowing that he will make a sacrifice for something so precious to him that he needs to give away, and we can't bear to see him and we wanted to reward him, how much more does our Heavenly Father want to reward us when we make that commitment to want to be a blessing to other people? I upload this picture into BBTC Facebook with only one thing in my heart, that this child with his 2 liter chocolate will inspire many to do likewise. Yes, he gave up his 2 chocolates because of what the people around him had said to him. Imagine how much more God will do for us in return as we obey him, as we surrender to him. Pastor Rick Warren says this in his book, A Purpose Driven Life. Nothing is more powerful than a surrendered life. You look through the pages of the Bible in history, and you will realize that every one of these anointed men, men powerfully, effectively used by God, they all have this one thing. They surrendered their life before their missions begin. Abraham, God promised Abraham that he will bless him, that he will make him great. But before he even received that, God told him that he has to leave his home, leave his friend, leave his parents, and go to a new land that God will want to show him. He didn't even know where is this place, by the way. But Abraham obeyed, walking away from comfort, walking away from things that he's very familiar with, walking away from home. He go and reach towards the God's promised land of God's greater blessing, even in the future. Moses, the prince of Egypt, who went into hiding in the wilderness for 40 years before God called him. Hebrews 11 verse 24, 27 says, by faith, when Moses grew up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt. Not fearing the king's anger, he persevered because he saw God, the invisible one. Joseph, the one highly favored by the father. He probably get everything that he wants. The good thing about it is he enjoys life at home. He's the king. But the bad thing is he incurred a lot of jealousy and envy even from his fellow brothers. So much so that they sold him as a slave to Egypt. And then he being, you know, the story of him, how he goes through the whole entire struggle and journey of life. And finally God was with him and deliver him out of all the trouble and gave him favor and wisdom in the presence of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh made him the governor over the entire country and his house. Jesus, Philippians chapter 2 verse 6 to 11 says this, Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in the presence as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. The apostles, the disciples of Christ, every one of them left, whether is it their fishing trade or some lucrative trades, they all left Jesus. They just left everything and followed Jesus. Because Jesus says this thing to them, come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. God wants to lead us into a place of greater service and effectiveness and usefulness for him. But don't let comfort and security of our present situation hinder us and make us miss God's perfect plan, his good and perfect plan. Someone says this, faith does not come from striving, but from surrendering. Surrendering to God is not an act of weakness. God uses your submission to bring great power into your life. It's such a contradiction from what we learn in school and what we learn in society, where the world tells us that control will give success. But yet we heard it's otherwise. Is there areas in our life that we have not surrendered to God? For my son, it was his 2 little chocolates. But what about us? What are we holding on that we are telling God, God, please don't ask me to give up this. We cannot live a life of blessing without living a life that is surrendered to Him, to God first. Because it is in the surrendering that we emptied ourselves, and when we realize that we have nothing to give and yet still need to give, that's where we need to acknowledge that God is the provider, that God is our everything. The call to acknowledge. To acknowledge that we are blessed. That God is everything. You are blessed. Do you know that? Tell the person to the left, say, you are blessed. You don't seem to be very convinced that you are blessed. Let me convince you with this video. Now that you know that you are blessed, say, I'm blessed. Now, do you know, now that you know you are blessed, but do you know who has blessed you? Abraham, in this passage, says, God says, I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. In this passage, one verse, God says 6 times to Abraham, says, I will do all these things. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 17 says this, God is the one who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Yes, indeed, we need to ask God to create in us the spirit of thankfulness and the humility to acknowledge that everything that we have comes from Him. Prior to joining the church as a full-time staff for me, I was an insurance agent. And you know that insurance agents don't get a basic salary. Salary comes from commission. Thus, every month, my income is really very dependent on the sale. Many of you will not experience this because you know that at a certain date, you know your salary will be accredited to your saving account or whatever account that you give them. And on the actual day itself, on the dot, when you check, the money always will be there. If it's late for a day or two, you will start complaining and write into the HR or finance, say, what's happening? But for me, my 11 years as an insurance agent, I really do not know how much is exactly credited into my account. So it's actually quite nerve-wracking. When you realize that month you have bills to pay, where your car installment is up, road tax is up, insurance is up, and you realize that you need a little bit more than the average usual month, and then you tell yourself you really do not know what are you going to see when you go into the ATM machine and then check my balance or my saving. But I want to tell you and share with you, The year before I left, prior to me leaving and joining church, God provided every single need, every single of my sales. My sales were literally dropping down from heaven, literally, to a point where even my non-Christian boss was making a statement like saying, exactly, quote word by word, he says, the one up there really likes you. I tell you, it's really a miracle to see my 1 year prior to my leaving, how God provided. I will have nothing in my suitcase, nothing pending, nothing at all, and you'll come to me, almost left two more weeks to the closing, and you ask me, do you have anything? I say, I have nothing. And then exactly within the 2 weeks, somebody will call and say, hi, I'm so and so, I used to buy a policy from you. Apparently now you are servicing me. I don't even know who is this person. So you're serving me. Can you please come down and see me? And then I drove down, and then there he is. His house is in Bukit Timah. And I go in. I saw, wow, all the cars, wow. And I left the place with a check that's enough to cover me for that month's sale. And my boss has to come with me because it's quite a big case. And he left the place saying, the one up there really likes you. And all through these 11 years, that's how God provided for me. Every time when I went to the ATM machine and I press and check my what is the balance in my saving account, I always end up saying, thank you, Jesus. Because I know I cannot take for granted, because I do not know exactly how much is credited. Because it's not a salary. People used to ask me, when after I come into full-time, like, how did you survive as a pastor? You know, we go on short holidays, usually it's short and nearby. You know, I have a car. We used to stay in a HDB 5-room flat. And people look at us and say, how you manage as a pastor? I always say this, work done for God, never lack God's resources. Our house, we use it for meetings, we use it for cell group, we open it up. We know it will mess up, but it's okay. Our cars, we use to fetch people, we use to fetch things, help people transport items. It will spoil, but it's okay. Even some of our holidays that me and my wife take, some, not all, some of them are very deliberate and intentional, because we know we need to bring this sister or this brother out with us for a short getaway, because we want to spend some time with them. So what work done for God, never lack God's resources. Have we taken time off to thank Him for the things that we have? Count our blessings? Or are we sitting there month after month complaining and whining of the I should have? Don't think of the things that we didn't get after praying. How about thinking of the many blessings that God gave us even without us asking? And why would this God bless us so much? Because there is a purpose in us being blessed. And we need to understand what is that purpose. In verse 2 and 3, he says, you will be a blessing. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you. Someone says this, our greatness is not measured by how much we are able to gain in life, but by how much we are able to give. If I were to ask you now, close your eyes and give me 5 great people, people that you respect, what comes to your mind? Are these people people who give, people who sacrifice, or are these people people who take, people who hoard, people who collect? We hear people say this when it comes to, can you help? People say, I got no money, I got no time. The truth of the matter is, the lifestyle of blessing is not about what you don't have, but about what you already have. That's God. If it's blessing someone with the money, it's never the issue about the size of your wallet, but rather the reality of God in our lives. Look at ourselves. We have both hands. We have 2 hands, most of us. All of us. You know, a lot of us actually can function just with 1 hand. If you are right-handed, actually right hand is good enough, because you're writing and a lot of things that you do with your right hand. But why would God give us 2 hands? Because someone says this. God gave us 2 hands. 1 for helping ourselves. The other for helping others. Anne Frank says, no one has ever become poor by giving. And we need to acknowledge that God rewards all our effort. All our works. Hebrews 6:10 says, God is not unjust, that He will not forget your work and the love that you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. Mark 10, verse 28 to 30, then Peter spoke up and told Jesus, we have left everything to follow you, Jesus. Jesus replied, truly I tell you, no one who has left home, brothers or sisters or mothers or fathers or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Home, brothers, sisters, mother, children, and fields, along with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. Blessing campaign is not about number. It's more than numbers. Every one of this number is a person behind giving out of time, energy, and money, going out there making a difference in another person's life. We have received many, many, many testimony of what they have gone through. Walking under the sun, going to construction site, passing out drinks, passing out nasi biryani, passing out all these things. Just for that half an hour, they will say, it's very tiring, we are all sweating. And then they report. Can you imagine those people who build our house? They are there 365 days, 12 hours a day. Or buying food and household necessity and went distribute around our neighborhood blocks. Those who are needy. Do you know that the blocks around us, not everybody, not all the blocks here are 5-room flats. There are rental flats around our church. Actually, not around, just next door. And the many, many, many visitations that you've done during Chinese New Year period, where you take your time off during this Chinese New Year period to visit old age home, children's home, orphanage, hospital, halfway houses. Many. So this is not just a number. 40,155 is not a number. It represents each and every one of us putting in our effort and our time and energy aside to make a difference in another person's life. 1 Timothy 6:18 says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and be generous and willing to share. And in this way, you will lay up treasures for yourself, for themselves, as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. Galatians 6, 9 and 10 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Church, the opportunity is now. There is no opportunity for us to do blessing campaign in heaven. There is no blessing campaign in heaven because there's no one you need to bless when we are all in heaven. The opportunity is now. Pastor Rick Warren says this, we are healed to help others. We are blessed to be a blessing. We are saved to serve, not to sit around and wait for heaven to come. We need to ask ourselves this question this morning. Why did God save us? Is it so that one day we can go to heaven after we die? If that is the case, then the moment when we say the sinner's prayer, He should have just zap us and we should just go be with Him immediately after we say the sinner's prayer. Have He done that before? Yes, He did it before to a man called Enoch. You can find the story in Genesis chapter 5 verse 24 when He said, Enoch walked with God and then he was no more. And God took him home. But why is He not doing it now? Why is He not just, when we say the sinner's prayer, the moment we say amen and close in prayer, He just take us away? Someone made a very good observation. He says that it is actually becoming increasingly true that evangelism in its traditional forms is losing its impact and actually even becoming counterproductive. No longer are people contented with just mere words. It is changed life that will speak powerfully in our changing context. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, what is the change in our life? Are we truly living as those who have been raised to new life in Christ? And is this transformation evidence to those who are outside of the Christian community? Let me share with you a story. I've shared this many times over the pulpit, but let me repeat this again. My mother came to receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior because of three brothers and their family came together to help my family tide over a financial crisis in the early 2000s. When everyone in the family, extended family, relatives, everyone had deserted us. It's not a small sum. We were supposed, as a family, we were supposed to raise 120,000 in 1 week to pay off a liquid damage that somebody did. Where to find 120,000 in a week? Nobody has that kind of money in a saving account. When everyone has left us, when everyone has left us. You know, let me share you. On that night, I remember, I told my parents, I'm going to go church. I'm going to ask a few people. You know what my dad says? No one will help you. No one will help you. Because everyone is selfish. But you guess what? These three brothers and their family, within a week, collected the 120,000 and passed it to us. And we resolved our financial crisis. Till this day, I'm always indebted and I'm always grateful and indebted to these three brothers for what they have done for me, my wife, our extended family. So when my mom prayed to receive Christ and the day when she decided to get baptized, I'm actually very curious because she has been worshipping idol for the last, how many, 40, 50 years. So I wonder whether she knows what she's doing. So I checked, why did you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Why do you want to go through the water of baptism? She said, she saw God provided for her. She said, when everyone has left her, and even the idol that she worshipped has not helped her, she realized that God has helped her and God has heard her. And that she decided to give her life to Jesus. The purpose of us being blessed is so that we can be the channel of blessing. And not just that, but ultimately to point others to Jesus. The greatest blessing that we can do for our friends and our loved ones is to offer them God's gift of eternal life, of salvation. That they will truly have the fellowship with the only true God and Jesus Christ in whom God has sent. That is the greatest blessing that we can give to the people around us, especially our loved ones. Let's recap. In order for our good deeds, not just remaining as good deeds, but that has a permanent and that will last and that will bring us reward. Our lives need to be constantly surrendered. Our lives need to be constantly emptied. So that when we empty and we are surrendered, God can fill us again. And that God is our everything. So that we can depend on Him, so that we can rely on Him. And not think that this is me. And to realize that in the midst of the blessing that we have received, that there is a purpose, that we are called to make a difference. The purpose of our blessing. And only after we live out these three calls in our life, constantly and daily, then we can lift out. Then we can receive the call to lift out the life of blessing. Pastor Edmund Chan has this about living the lifestyle of blessing. He calls it the PDA. I enjoy it, and to this day, I'm always reminded of this. He talks about personal revival. Like I said again, our good work must never be void of God. Our good work must arise and produce out of a true faith in Jesus Christ. Thus, our spending time with God is really very vital and important. Because it is in the spending of time that we hear and sense what the Holy Spirit is telling us. And when the Holy Spirit sends, then we follow that leading and the guiding to that divine appointment. To the person that we are called to minister. To the person that we are called to reach out. To the person that we are called to give a lift or to buy a drink or to buy a meal. And then when we are there with them, we ask God for the courage. We ask God for the bonus. That we will obey what He has put in our hearts and we will just do and say what He wants us to do and wants us to say. That is the difference, I believe, about what is just a good deed or good work that will last and bring us reward. My closing, I want to show you a video of someone who has made sacrifice.
Finally tonight, a golden opportunity for an entire class of 26 kindergartners. They're all from low-income families, and saving for a college education is a struggle. But as our Miguel Almaguer reports, those worries about the future are now over, thanks to a $1 million gift from a man making a difference.
Today is College Friday inside Mrs. Ashton's kindergarten class.
That's where Christiane is going to go to college.
Most of her 26 students come from low-income, single-parent homes, where the price of lunch, much less college, is out of reach. but not anymore.
You're going to be a teacher?
Marty Burbank wants to pay for every student here to go to college.
I'm going to put off retirement a few years.
A lawyer who met his wife on a boat and got married on a yacht was ready to buy his dream cruiser
times 12
when he realized there was a better way to spend his money.
Our pastor gave a sermon about charity and giving and sacrifice, and at that point I really felt like I could invest in this boat or I could invest in 26 kids and hopefully make a difference in their lives.
The gift and the offer is life-changing. Their future literally is different because of this.
Isabella Celadon couldn't believe the generosity.
Oh my gosh.
The seamstress says her son Jason can now be anything he wants.
Doctor.
Every year, these kids will need to draw a picture or write a letter about college to Marty Burbank, who's investing over $1 million in their future.
I'm grateful for the opportunity to do this because it brings me so much joy helping kids.
One couple giving up so much, but getting back in return a gift that's priceless. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, Anaheim, California.
I believe one of the greatest opportunities we have as Christians is really to make a profound difference in the life of others. Throughout my life as in the ministry, as a pastor, and God has given me many opportunities to help many people who are in need. And I don't believe that this special opportunity that God has made is just for me or for that man, Mr. Martin Burbank, in the video. Every one of us here included, has the ability to influence someone. When you take the time to reach out to others and invest in someone's life, you are impacting not just their world, but also ours. I received a thank you card on Thursday, just last Thursday. This came unexpectedly, handwritten. This was on my table, and I don't know who gave it to me, and when I picked it up, I saw from who, I was shocked. This is a lady in her early 30s. She's going through a cancer remission. We're already praying for her that she will have full recovery. But she is going through cancer remission. As and when you see when she catch a cold, or you know her immunity will straight away go down and she becomes very sick. So she's in the remission. But in the remission, so when she came to see me and Pastor Sharon, we helped them. She and the husband came in. We helped them as a couple to go through life challenges. We journeyed with them for about a year. But prior to the start of the whole journey, she messaged one of us and says, when my husband comes in, please don't talk about God. Please don't talk about the Bible. Please don't talk about Christianity or anything. Because my husband just don't like it. Because she has some bad encounter and bad experience. And he really don't want it. I know this is in the church. I know you are pastors, but is it possible that you can allow this, like just talking without any Christian, any God in it? So we said, okay. So we say, okay. So at the end of last year, when we think that they are okay, we say, we don't have to meet you anymore. I think you are fine. You can on your own now with the husband. At the end of last year, when we finished the session, she took up the courage to go through the water baptism. By the way, when she came in to see us, she was only, I think, 1.5 months or 2 months old Christian. By the time the end of the year came, when we finished the whole journeying process, she said she wants to be baptized. And not only that she wants to baptize, but then the husband is now attending BBTC together with her. I'm not saying this to boast, but I'm just saying that this is what blessing is about. As we avail ourselves and tell God, God, here I am, use me. God will use you to bless another person's life. And ultimately, God will use you to point others to Jesus. That the person will not just receive the blessing, the physical, tangible act of blessing, but the person will also receive the blessing of eternal life, of salvation. This was the thank you card that she wrote, saying how much we have blessed her. But yesterday when she was at the Saturday service, I told her, I think I want to say thank you for being a blessing. Because this cup comes in such a right time when I'm nursing a flu, when I have three kids at home with always shout of laughter and when I have to prepare the sermon, where I just needed affirmation and encouragement. This cup came just in time. You know, the giver has become the one who receives. The one who was receiving has become the one who gives. Indeed, when we invest in another person's life, we are not just impacting theirs, but we are also impacting ours. Galatians 6:10 tells us to be mindful that we need to live our life as a blessing to everyone that God brings across our path. We are called to be a blessing and to build each other up in their faith, and not to be afraid to go and reach out and to speak the truth in love. I really don't believe that God wants us to be just mere spectators in life. I think He wants us to be people who really love and really care enough to be willing to pour lives, our lives into their lives. Whether you know it or not, someone is watching and looking up at us. People will be influenced by the way we live our lives, and they need to see God in our everyday action. And with this, let me close with this last statement. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Thank you, BBTC, for all the good works done. 40,155 in just 2.5 to 3 weeks is not impossible, because God is with you all. And it's my prayer that God will use every day of our life, not just when there is only blessing campaign, but every single day of our living moment, to reach out and to bless and to influence someone with His love. So that in His grace and in His timing, that as we live out this life of blessing, that many may come to know Him and many may come to glorify Him. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Andrew. Church, we are entering the fourth week of the blessing campaign. Week number 4 is coming, and I think it's only appropriate that we take some time right now. Just close our eyes, bow our heads, connect with the Lord, and ask the Lord on our own, God, what is my assignment this week? How can I become that blessing? How can I bring Your light into those who need it the most? How can I be a channel of Your resource? How can I bring Your gospel to those who are lost? Just take the next 1 minute on your own. Allow the Lord to speak to you. Ask Him, Lord, what is my assignment this week? I can give you 1 minute on your own. Seconds more. Okay, shall we stand? In a while's time, as we sing the closing song, we're going to be opening up the altar. If the Lord has given you an assignment and you need empowerment, maybe He has told you, go share the gospel to somebody this week. Or He has told you, become that catalyst to reconcile your relationship. He has told you to go and pray for someone who is ill, to bring His light to those who need it. If you need empowerment for what the Lord has laid upon you in the past 1 minute, the altar is open. As you sing this closing song, I would like you to make your way up to the front and somebody will pray with you for the empowerment to come upon you so that you can carry out, be obedient to what He has said. If you need empowerment for what the Lord has laid upon your heart, if any of these words of knowledge speak to you, or if you need prayer, just come.
Thank you.
church, there are some of you here who are thinking in your heart, I can't be a blessing this week because I'm troubled. Because there's something that's weighing me down. So close this service, I'm going to be praying for you right now, right? So if that is you, you just stretch forth your hands in front of you as an act of releasing that pain and that trouble to the Lord. So I pray for you right now. Lord, we want to pray for everyone whose hands are before them right now, that you would lift up their spirits. Lord, there are times where we think that we cannot be a blessing because we are so burdened in our hearts. But Lord, you are the one that will come and fill our hearts with love. And because we have you, we know that even in our brokenness, we can be a blessing. So Lord, we pray for everyone here whose hearts and hands are extended before you because we need that touch from you. Lord, would you touch us in that special way so that we can become that salt and that light, that we will always become that salt and that light. Even in brokenness, we can become that light, to become the encouragement and that vessel for all who need it. So Lord, we pray for your healing to come upon everyone here whose hearts are broken right now. Would you come? Would you heal? Would you repair and mend and fill our hearts once again with your love? And because we have your love, because we have your healing, and because we have your presence, Lord, we know that we can become that light. So Lord, as we depart from the service right now, Lord, would you send us forth, all of us here, with that light, with that love, with that resource in our hands, to become that blessing, to bring forth your hope to those who need it the most. So Lord, as we depart from this place right now, send us forth with these resources. Send us forth that we will bring your light into places of darkness. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give God a hand. Let's give God a hand, church.